Blog Talk Radio.
Truth.
In the councils of government, we must guard against the acquisition of unwarranted influence by the military-industrial complex.
Are the Bible's prophecies today's reality?
This could be the sign that signals the return of Christ.
World leaders are working behind the curtains.
The very word secrecy is repugnant in a free and open society. Secret societies, secret oaths, secret proceedings.
Now, get ready for an hour of truth that will make you think. We'll examine Bible prophecy and see how close we are to the return of Jesus Christ for His church.
You're in the zone.
Politics, Israel, the Middle East, the revised European superstate, and more. All in the zone. This is the Prophecy Zone with your host, Phil Armstrong.
This is Brenda Johnson, and I am here as the day approaches. I'm your host, and I will be talking today about the emerging church. We've been doing a study on this. Today we will be focusing on mission, globalization, and the kingdom of God. All of you who are new to this radio station show, I welcome you. We've been doing a series on this, and we're going to continue to do a series on this because I find that so many people do not know about the emergent church or the emerging church, and we are talking about that so that we can give a good understanding about what this church is, what this movement's all about. I prayed about which direction to go in this session because there's so much to start with, and so many people do not have the slightest idea of what the emerging church and the emergent movement is all about. And I really want to give people a good understanding of what this movement is. Excuse me. We talked about in the first show about the emergent church versus the emerging church, or the opposite way around. And I went in to define briefly the differences. As a reminder, the emerging church is about a new methodology and how to do church. And the emergent church is about a new theology. Some would explain it as a new methodology in how to interpret truth. We talked about, introduced how I came to my understanding of this movement and how I've studied it for 4 years before I found the leaders of the movement and then began to study the leaders. Then I went into talking about Dan Kimball's book on the emerging church, all about methodology. Talked about how, some methodology and change and out of the box is not a big deal to me, but there are extremes which they're adding to this movement that does bother me and that is biblically questionable. We talked about that. You can join us on that show. There's a second one called Methodology and Meet the Leaders. I didn't get into talking about the leaders that day, and I was a little frustrated because I have so much information I didn't get a whole lot out that day. So I took time on the next show to talk about the leaders that I'm focusing on in this movement because the influence that they have. And then a lot of the smaller leaders, I call them smaller because they kind of use the other leaders as mentors, as ones who will guide them and say, yes, we approve or not. There's all different varieties and flavors of the emerging church and the emergent church. But they do have a methodology. They do have a theology that agrees with each other. Even though it looks different, there's similarities that are different. It's almost like the denominations where generally all the denominations, Pentecostal, Protestant denominations, agree together on the majority of the foundational beliefs, such as the Trinity, salvation, hell, eternal life, Jesus rising in a physical body. All that is all agreed upon. We agree more than we disagree, but all the denominations is about flavor and about style and about the little pet doctrines that people focus on or fight about. I don't really mind denominations. I've been in several of the denominations, so I have a good flavor about them. So that doesn't really bother me either. The emerging church movement got my attention because I'm really into prophecy. I really like to study about the last days. When I was 15 is when I started studying about Revelation, Daniel, and a lot of the going on. And that was back in the 80s. So I studied a lot of the New Age movement back then. I was young then. Born in 1965, for those of you who are curious of how old I am. But I've known the Lord for 35 years, and I've never walked away from Him. I've always walked with Him and have been learning and growing ever since. I do feel that I have a, a bent on discernment, apologetic, prophetic, and confronting counterfeit Christianity are subjects that we're going to be talking about on as the day approaches, is counterfeit Christianity, prophecy, religious tolerance, and world religions. So when I first started to study the emerging movement, I was really shocked by what I found in it, and I wanted to share this information. So without further ado, let's go to our show, because I have so much to talk to you about. The emergent church movement calls itself a prophetic, spiritual, and progressive religion. Now, what is interesting to me is that religion and spirituality, which never left our vocabulary, are coming back within the church as good words. We kind of avoided saying we're part of a religion, but now those words are coming back, and the emerging church leaders are bringing religion back as a good thing. it's an ideological, philosophical, and experiential and missional type of movement. I will go into some of these. Today I kind of want to brief the mission, globalization, and the kingdom of God. Do you know I could spend a whole hour on mission. I can spend a whole hour on globalization. And I could probably do a few shows on the kingdom of God. So today I'm kind of going to brief you on some of these, on all three of these. And then we'll go into it deeper as we move along in this series. What's very, very important, and I may switch my shows around because if you look, I have them all set up, categorized and titled, but I may switch them around from time to time because, you know, when I think that I need to go in this direction, that's what I'll do. And I may go to the real Jesus. The real Jesus, please stand. Because when you go into talking about the kingdom of God, it's very important to understand what the emergent church thinks of Jesus. When I started reading the Brian McLaren's book on the secret message of Jesus, you know, the title I said kind of attracted my attention. And I thought, you know, I wouldn't have very much to disagree with him. I thought I would have to really look for the secret. What is the secret he's talking about? So I have to go plow through these pages and see if I could find that secret, or see if I can find where I disagree with him on. I didn't really think I'd disagree with him on a lot of things, but when I began to read it, 7 out of 10 pages I began writing on. So every 10 pages that I read, 7 of those pages I was writing, all of the pages I was interacting with the book and saying, I cannot believe how far off this guy is in his theology. The secret of message. And it's shocking to me. I was so shocked. And I said, gee, how much more does he have to say? He's got almost 200, well, he's got over 200 pages in this book. And I have to get through this whole book to understand what he's trying to say. After that, I went to Everything Must Change, Jesus, Global Crisis, and the Revolution of Hope. And I expected this time when I read his book that I would find some things I disagreed with. And not that I'm looking for things I'm disagreeing with. What I'm looking for is what kind of points of disagreement are there, if there is any, because I do give people the benefit of the doubt, or movements the benefit of the doubt. I like to study Christian movements, and I like to focus, to really honestly study them so that people can understand what they're all about. I have to say that when I opened up this book and read the first, I don't know if it was even the first chapter or if it was the foreword, I can't remember now. It's been a while since I've read it. I think maybe the first chapter. I shut the book and I was so upset. And I had to pray for probably a week. And the reason I was so upset was because in all my studies of theology, of revelation, of prophecy, for the first time, I saw that the deception that is going to come in the last days, talking about in Matthew 24, where Jesus says, do not be deceived, may very well be the one coming right through the church. I know that there is a lot of offshoots of Christianity. There are deceptions or things that try to get into the church. That is a deception, but this is rising from within the church. And Brian McLaren uses the term yeast as a positive term. Now, the Bible talks about yeast as a negative term, and he says that this message is spreading like yeast throughout the churches, and that churches are grabbing a hold of it. He's using this, you know, this word in a positive light. You're going to see that there are going to be many, many words that we are familiar with as evangelical Christians, which I claim that I am. I am a capital evangelical church. I say capital E because in the emergent movement, they say they're evangelical, but they specify that they are not the capital E. They are a small e. And the reason they say that is because they do not want to associate with the traditional evangelical church. So when you hear that Brian McLaren is evangelical and he declares it, or any of the other emergent movement leaders say that they're evangelical, they're not talking about the evangelical that you and I are. They're talking about a small e, which they've redefined. And they're taking the words that we understand and claiming it for themselves, because it says, there's a saying that says, he who owns the language owns the argument. And that's what they're trying to do, is to change the language. So I'm going to tell you what some of the words they're changing are. So I asked in my Facebook page, some people from time to time, I ask them certain questions about the emerging movements. If you do want to join me on my Facebook page, I do have that. And I also am an administrator of False Teachings Identifying Them page on Facebook that you can join me as well. But I asked the question just recently, and this is the second time I've asked it, is what does missional mean? Have you ever heard the term missional? Well, missional is a term that is being used as part of this movement, and it's a term first used in the 1990s by the Gospel and Our Culture Network to mean something beyond conservative and liberal versions of Christianity. Now, so this is beyond conservative and liberal versions, but it's really beyond conservative versions of Christianity. It's actually accepting the liberal version of Christianity. It says it tries to find attempts to find a happy medium and to marry the two, but in the end it is giving liberal Christianity a voice that once was owned by conservatives who defined mission, evangelism, outreach, and theology. And so in the 60s or in the movement back in the early 70s when liberal Christianity, they don't believe the word of God is inerrant, they don't believe it's a book written by God, they don't believe in sola scriptura, they don't believe in the virgin birth of Christ, they don't believe necessarily that you have to, be a Christian and follow Jesus the way of the Bible to be able to be accepted to God. There are certain varieties within that movement, but they are the ones that are taking root and saying that they are actually trying to marry these two, which, you know, that's what they're trying to do. And we have to say, do we want that within the churches? The mainstream churches are the evangelical churches that have owned and defined evangelism for decades. So what it means, it actually brings down the evangelical church to make the more liberal branches of Christianity more appealing. And rather than seeing missiology as a study within theology, theology is actually a discipline with Christian mission. Now, that doesn't sound too bad, does it? But listen to this next thing, and this is out of the Clarence Generous Orthodoxy, page 116, for anyone who would like to look that up. Theology is the church on a mission, reflecting on its message, its identity, its meaning. Now, let me read that again, because you got to really hear what it says. Theology is the church on a mission, reflecting on its message, its identity, its meaning. So it's really actually saying the opposite. Really, mission is birthed from our theology, not theology is the church on a mission. So if you can hear that difference, theology is the church on a mission. That is a theology. Instead of we go on a mission because of our theology, because of what we believe, we do missions. They're saying the opposite. Doing missions is what is our belief. So it doesn't really matter what kind of doctrine you necessarily have, as long as you work together and you are friendly and you do things in a nice way, in a loving way, as Christ would do them. Why this started, taking root is because the liturgical style churches, such as the Episcopal Church, the Lutheran Church, the Roman Catholic, Methodist, they were losing members. They were losing, they were kind of dying. If you remember 10 years ago, maybe 15 years ago, a lot of these churches were seeming like they were going to close their doors because the way the culture was going, they weren't, they were just losing a lot of members. So to revive its churches, they started to grab a hold of this liberal view of Christianity, and they're attempting to make it sound mainstream, trying to reach out to what they call the postmodern culture in which we now live instead of confronting it. So some claim that we're in a postmodern culture. I'm not quite sure that I think we're totally in that era right now, but I do believe that there is a multicultural cultural aspect going on at the moment. But instead of confronting the postmodern viewpoints, they're actually embracing these viewpoints in order to become relevant, in order to be to have the culture accept Christianity. They feel that if they do not do that, then Christianity, not these liturgical churches and the styles in which they are presenting themselves, but Christianity itself will die. And so for the survival of Christianity, which, you know, the Bible says the gates of hell will not overcome the church, they say that they are grabbing hold of this worldview. They embrace its philosophy, worldview, and ideology. I'm talking about the postmodern. Now, the language is extremely important in this movement. And language is important with all of us. What's the funny and ironic thing about this movement is they said that, especially Rob Bell says, language cannot describe or explain God. But how many books are being written that are trying to explain the God of the emergent church or the mission of the emergent church? Everyone explains things with words. You just can't help doing it. So what they're actually doing, instead of just not saying words at all, they're actually changing the words that we know. I'm going to show you an example of this, but I am going to list some of these words right now. And later on, we'll go into these words. But I want you to know that these very fundamental understanding words have totally different meanings than what we know them to be. These include salvation and the cross, why Jesus died on the cross, repentance, substitutionary atonement. I know substitutionary is a big word, but all that means is that Jesus died in our place, that God punished Jesus, his son, on the cross instead of me. I was supposed to be the one to be punished on that cross, but instead he punished Jesus in my place. That's what substitutionary means. Resurrection, heaven, hell, what it means to call Jesus Lord, the way, the truth, and the life, totally different meanings. Sovereign, God's sovereignty, what is a soul? Saving the world versus personal salvation. Brian McLaren's book on the generous orthodoxy, page 106 and 107, he says this. He says, I am a Christian because I believe that in all these ways Jesus is saving the world. By the world, I mean planet Earth and all life on it, because left to ourselves, unjudged, unforgiven, and untaught, not just people, the world, we will certainly destroy this planet and its residents. And by the world, I specifically mean human history, because again, it was and is in danger, grave danger, ultimate danger, self-imposed danger, and I don't believe anyone else can rescue it. I'm pausing there because did you get that? He said that by the world, I mean planet Earth. Jesus says in John 3:16, and this is what they say, it's like, God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life, for God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world but to save the world through him. Now, they go through that and say, God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son. Skip. That the world shall not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world, planet Earth, through him. Now, we know that 3:16 means God sent his son to save the world, save us who are in the world. McLaren goes on to say, I used to believe that Jesus' primary focus was on saving me as an individual and on saving other me's as individuals. For that reason, I often spoke of Jesus as my personal savior, and I urged others to believe in Jesus in the same way. I still believe that Jesus is virtually interested in saving me and you by individually judging us, via the last paragraph, by forgiving us of our wrongs and teaching us to live in a better way. End quote. He goes on, quote, but I fear that for too many Christians, personal salvation has become another personal consumer product, which to some it has. What do I say? What he is saying there is that forgiving our wrongs, what we're doing to this earth, what we're doing on the earth, and teaching us to live in a better way. There's so much to that I can't even go into that point today. The mission of the emergent church is this, and I've broken it down into these points. Deconstruct traditional Christianity. Formulate an other worldview other than what it was originally or traditionally determined by the scriptures. Rethink everything, theology, ideology, mission, global activity. Reframe personal and biblical truth with narratives. So the Bible is not necessarily a book of truth. There's truth in it. Let's see if you can hear the liberal theology in this. There's truth in it, but it's really mainly narratives and stories that are being told. It's not necessarily instruction or directives from God. It's a narrative, which is so not true, because the Bible has narrative, the Bible has instruction, Bible has absolute truth. And that's what they do not believe. Another one is to formulate a global network under one system in ideology. And another, to continue a progressive revelation of truth, always reforming, morphing, and changing. So they believe that the Bible can change, can morph, can reform. And they believe that it's always changing, forming, and developing. Now, in the book, An Emerging Manifesto of Hope, edited by Doug Padgett and Tony Jones, those are emerging church leaders in Minneapolis at the Solomon's Porch Church. Tim Conder does a chapter called The Existing Church, Emerging Church Matrix. And in this chapter, he talks about how he really feels that the emerging church and the traditional church need to become friends and need to mesh together as in one. The emergent community and the missional possibilities for the potential friendship, but there's such a vast difference between the two that they're finding that there is conflict on either side, that you really can't mesh the two because they're kind of polar opposites in what they're thinking and how they think. Here is what something that Tim Conder, he is the pastor of Emmaus Way, an emergent community in Durham, North Carolina, and remains a standing elder and friend of the Chapel Hill Bible Church, a fellowship he co-pastored for 15 years. Tim is a member of the coordinating team for the Emergent Village, a member of the board of directors of the Mars Hill Graduate School, Ms. Rob Bell's church, and the author of The Journey of Existing Churches in the Emergent Culture by Zondervan, 2006. This is what he says. These missional possibilities have not always been apparent. the early relationship of the existing church and the church emerging in postmodernity, which I can't say that word, it's just too hard for me, can be characterized by a series of dramatic collisions. Just as a partial list of these eschatological struggles would include sharp collisions in ethics, epistemologies, yeah, I love saying that word, yeah, it makes people mad, but, and that is the nature and understanding of truth, theology, gospel, mission, biblical interpretation, leadership, spiritual formation, which is Christian discipleship, and the nature of Christian community. And on the next page, he tells the differences between, you know, like in the ethics, the existing traditional church has a personal and absolute view of ethics. That would be the evangelical with the big E. The emerging or the postmodern view is corporate and contextual, which I want to disagree that the existing church, traditional church, does not have contextual components to it or corporate. Both are corporate, but what they're saying, what it's saying here is that what the emergent postmodern churches doing is they're rejecting personal relationship, personal ethics, absolute truth. They're going to a corporate and a contextual, meaning not contextual in the sense of missionary, as I know it as a missionary, because I think contextual is fine as long as it doesn't corrupt the word of God. They said corporate is that the group all agrees together on what truth is. And you get a conclusion of truth by a group of people. Contextual means you're gonna take the culture and you're gonna do what the culture demands instead of what is necessarily biblical. Epistemology is the nature and understanding of truth is for what we have in the traditional, they say we have abstract, absolute, and transcendent, meaning that abstract, which, you know, I don't feel that we're totally abstract. They're saying that, you know, everything is laid out. But, yes, we think that truth can be laid out. Absolute, yes, definite, absolute truth. Transcendent, yeah, well, you know what? Guess what? God is outside of his creation, and he is said to creation who he is and reminded them. But he is also involved in creation. So though he is transcendent above creation, he is also involved. The emergent postmodern view of truth is experiential, perceptual, and local. So truth is local. Truth is experiential, and truth is perceptual. So whatever I experience, whatever I perceive, and whatever, you know, is locally acceptable, that is what truth is. Theology. Well, how the traditional church would view theology is systematic and propositional. Well, there is a systematic, you know, system of truth, but it's not always, you know, systematical. Propositional is that, you know, we can read the Word of God and come and understand God through reading the Word of God, that God has outlined in Scripture who he is and what he requires of us. Theology for them is narrative and missional. We explained what missional was, they're going out in mission is their theology. The narrative is that everything is a story. Gospel, well, our gospel, what we focus on is eternal salvation. Not only do we focus on eternal salvation, which I think is a real misunderstanding within the emergent church or a purposeful misrepresentation, which I really believe is the truth. We also believe that, you know, you can't live a godly life here on earth and that there is, you know, can have impact on the world around you. It's not just that you're, you know, going to go die and go to heaven, but I don't know where a church is teaching that you're just going to die and go to heaven and you don't do anything on earth to bear fruit of the kingdom of God. Now, their gospel is present reign of God in this world. They believe in kingdom now theology, where God is reigning right now. Revelation, the book of Revelation, is a metaphor for this movement. Brian McLaren, who is the apologist and the guru and the activist, actually has stated in his book that the book of Revelation is not, that God is not going to come and judge the earth, that it's a metaphor. And it's actually the writing of the oppressed, which is the only thing that's not in the scripture. The writing is of the oppressed is that they wrote in code in order that the government would come down and throw them in prison. Well, John was in prison when he wrote Revelation, so it wouldn't have mattered if he said something against the government. Our mission is defined in the traditional church as personal, spiritual, by personal spiritual needs. And also, as a missionary, you go to meet the people in the culture, the felt needs, and the community needs. They don't say that, though. They define mission as God's redemptive agenda. Now, listen to that. Defines it by God's redemptive agenda. They have an agenda. And his redemptive agenda is a filled word. And if I go into that, I will not even be able to touch anything else today. So we will go back to that. Biblical interpretation for the traditional church is propositional, dependent on theological systems. Well, you know, hermeneutics, the who, what, why, where, how, as I was taught in theology school. Bible school. I have a degree in cross-cultural studies and with an emphasis in Bible and missions. It's dependent on theological systems. Well, that would mean, there is a, you know, you got to do it with understanding of the culture to understand that there is an interpretation that is intended by the author. What they say is that the biblical interpretation is contextual and narrative. You know, I would disagree again that the traditional church is not contextual, because there are places that we do contextualize the message of Jesus, just like The Eternity in Their Hearts by Don Richardson. He has great books on contextualization without harming the message of the gospel. Leadership, they say in the traditional church, is positional and hierarchical. Now, I would have to agree with that for a lot of churches, just because that's probably the only thing I agree with, because as a woman, for me, I am so excited that I can do this show, but I have been so limited by the church structure within the church that because I am a woman, and that my theology or my ability to communicate a message in the way that I'm doing, to be able to confront Christianity and to be able to contextualize or to theologize is actually I've been told on differing occasions from different church men that I have spiritual pride. Now, if a man has the same abilities, they're praised and they are they're encouraged to expand on what they know. If I tell you that you what I know, am prideful and out of my place as a woman. So I do have to agree in that. And that I think is a weakness within a traditional church. They say in exchange or for the emergent church, its focus is relational and egalitarian, which gives women, you know, I would be very much attracted to that side because it gives women more opportunity to have a voice. I don't necessarily agree with all of egalitarian. I do not believe with Mother God, Father God, which that's what they believe, which is liberal. Relational, I think, is part of the existing modern church as well. So I don't think it's just an emergent view. Spiritual formation, discipleship is a linear, cognitive, personal, and for an emergent, it's nonlinear, holistic, and communal, which, you know, you can debate between that because I do believe that I'm holistic. The tradition. How can I be part of the traditional church when I'm not whole? You know, I'm holistic. I'm cognitive. I'm personal. I might be linear. I'm not sure. I'm communal. I love the church. I have actually had more difficulty within the church structure than probably a lot of people because of my gifts. I have gifts that are normally a guy would have, and I have the gifts. For example, I was a compassion ministry director with my husband. We were a couple that were given leadership of a compassion team, and what we're to do is create teams to go out to the community to do compassion-related ministries that would be with the Crisis Care Net Center, the Angel Tree Prison Fellowship, those kind of ministries where you can give hands-on ministry opportunities to people who are a little shy about straight-out evangelism. Of course, I'm not shy. I love going down to the street and just walking up to people and starting to have a conversation. But anyway, my husband and I were leaders, and my husband spent a lot of time at work, and I had a lot more time on my hands. So I created a lot of these ministries. I created the teams. I did most of, if not three-quarters, 85% of the work on these teams. But guess who got the credit? My husband did. So, go figure. He was the one that got the credit for all of it because I'm a woman. So, one more thing, and the difference is basis of community, formation of boundaries formed by doctrine and confession. That's the traditional church, and I'm strongly for that. Boundaries shaped by ethical and missional commitments. So, their boundaries are created by their own ethics and their own mission. Okay, so we got to keep moving on before I lose all my time and I can't get through these. The real issue involved in the collision of the two radical conceptions of Christian community and the two polarized paradigms for ministry. These are some of the things that are polarized. Tim Conder goes on to say, moving beyond the existing emerging church matrix is an absolute essential eschatological shift for Christian community in the present. So he's saying that this has to happen. No way. If you knew what I know about this movement, well, hopefully you will. But if you do, I am so upset that this can be in our church. Even though some of this sounds really okay and good, but when I get into talking more about what they think about Jesus, what they really think the mission and agenda is, you're going to be quite perplexed. The existing church must find its way into the emerging culture to retain its missiological credibility or perhaps even to survive. So, the existing church, they're saying that we have to come their way in order for us to survive. Ain't going to happen. Tim says,